This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're happy to have you with us today. You know, if you're a parent, hardly a night goes by that you don't go to bed at night and you dread the phone call, don't you? You just wonder, you know all about it, that midnight, that late in the night phone call, because it's never good news. And there are two things you don't want to hear. One is that your child has been involved in an accident or something like that. And the second is right behind it. And that's what we're going to talk about today with our guest, Jackie Carpenter, because she got that 2 o'clock call that her son had been arrested. There had been a shooting. Someone had died and the gun was in her son's hand. Can you imagine a mother? If you are, you can imagine that and getting that phone call. Well, let's talk to Jackie Carpenter and let her tell the story, which she's included in a couple of books, and it's coming out in a movie. And we'll talk about all of that. So, Jackie, glad to have you on Peace Talk.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, let's I know the listeners are just excited right now. Tell us a little bit about the movie. It's called A Cry for Justice. When can they see it, and where can they see it?
A Cry for Justice is, yes, it is a movie, and it's based on my two books, The Bridge and Georgia Justice, and it is a true story based on my son. And right now, we're in negotiations with the distributors, but we're also in the process of locking in with SeatZ.com, SeatZy.com, which is kind of a new thing out there, where if someone wants to see a movie, they go to SeatZ, our movie comes up, they double-click on it, and get it in a theater near them. So we have a lot coming over the horizon with A Cry for Justice.
And that's great, and I noticed I took a look at it yesterday. If anybody would like to see the trailer, go to A Cry for Justice, the movie.com, and you can see the trailer there. I think it's going to be a great film. It looks exciting. Now, of course, I've read the book. And like always, we'll get to go see, is how close is it to the book, okay? And in your mind, how close is it to the book?
Yeah, and it's also, just a note for your listeners, it has already won 8 awards. So we're very excited about that. The latest one was last week. We won the Alaska International Film Festival Award, first place for best screenplay.
Great. Well, keep us posted, and our listeners, you can keep posted. Again, the trailer for that is A Cry for Justice, the movie.com. You can go see it and keep up with it. Hopefully, it'll be in a theater near you somewhere soon. But now, Jackie, let's talk about it. You're a mom. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you in your life before this phone call?
Well, I was at the best place in my life I have ever been. It was a beautiful Friday afternoon on June 27th, 2008. Both of my boys were now grown, had their own families. I remarried in 1993 a man named Larry Carpenter, who had come in beside me, helped me raise these two little boys, which were now grown, had their own families. So Larry and I were pretty much traveling the world over, first class. Larry, he was having my dream house built on the hillside beside my parents' home. Everything, when I look back at that day, everything in my life was perfect, perfect. And so, you know, you say, well, if your life was so perfect, how in the world could just in the matter of 10 to 12 minutes, not only my life, but the life of my entire family was blown into a million pieces, like you said earlier. How did it come? It was delivered to me by a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning, where I had just been told that my son had been arrested, charged for a felony murder, 3 counts of aggravated assault, possession of a firearm, placed into cell block A with the worst of humanity, and he was innocent.
Well, you know, I think there's a television commercial right now that I saw the other day, and they'll show some tragic event, and then the screen comes up and it says, today is the day before. Mm-hmm. And it's trying to point up the fact that whatever it is, today is the day before. And so tragedy in your world can fall apart very quickly. Well, where were you? Tell us a little bit about yourself. We've told us where you were personally in terms of your life, but where were you spiritually?
Spiritually, let me tell you where I was at. I was born again when I was 13 years old. I had been in church my entire life. Not only in church, Larry, I've been a big worker in the church my entire life, but I've never come up against anything difficult other than divorce. And when I measure divorce, in conjunction with June 27th, there is absolutely no comparison whatsoever. So, you know, I'll tell you where I was at. I was saved, but my faith was totally lost. It was totally lost. Because when my world was blown into a million pieces, that's what I found. I was saved, but my faith was lost. You know, when tragedy strikes, you do one of two things. You blame God or you trust God. I was doing both. I was doing absolutely both, Larry. I had enough faith about me to know that if God didn't fix it, that we were in big trouble. Because the best attorney in the world said, this is not looking good. So I knew God had to fix it, but I was blaming him for it at the same time.
Well, you talk about that, and so tell me, what were your emotions are like? What were your feelings when you got this phone call? You hang up the phone, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, so what was going through your mind at that moment?
I was totally blown away. I was just absolutely blown out of the water. And you know what? For the next 10 months, I lived in a confused state of mind. I lived in a confused state of mind because what I was doing, you know, I was going to try to fix this thing myself, Larry. I mean, you know, and for the first, gosh, I think it was like 6 months, I studied Georgia law 24 hours a day trying to find the answer to this thing. And I realized 6 months in, I was getting nowhere. And then I got a phone call from my doctor saying, you go to the hospital, you don't stop, you go straight to the hospital, Jackie. You're a dead woman walking. And I went straight to the hospital. My blood count had dropped to 8. I had to have a full-blown blood transfusion. But that was the place that God had to get me flat on my back where he could tell me this. You are searching the wrong books. And you know what? When I got out of that hospital, I had to go by CVS to get my medications, and my eyes were just drawn to a choice book stand, and there was a book called Psalm 91, God's Shield of Protection for Your Life. And I took it home, and I crawled into my prayer closet, and I reversed my way of thinking, and I got out of the computer. I got out of studying Georgia law, and I started studying God's law. And you know what? God was telling me in his law things like this. Well, I hooked up to Psalm 91 for life support, because I look at it this way, Larry. When I was released from that hospital, my physical body went back home to my husband in South Georgia. But my spiritual being was transferred to another facility, a faith rehab hospital called the Hospital of Psalms. And when the great physician took a look at my condition, he immediately placed me in intensive care, and that's room 91. And in Psalm 91, he himself would really hook me up to life support and rebuild my faith, from just like that dream house, from the foundation up.
Well, let's back up a little bit then. In your story, I take it from what you're telling me that you had never had an experience where you had to get
Never.
Into the Word of God and mm-hmm. begin to find strength there. Where had you found your strength up to that point? I mean, you said you'd gone through a divorce.
I never had to use it before. And you know, how can you measure your faith if it's never been tested? I mean, I would have told you on June 26th, the day before the tragedy, that my faith was as strong as anybody else's in the entire world. I love Jesus. I love the Lord. You know, yes, I go to church. I work in the church. You know, I tell everybody, yeah, I thought it was really great there until my world was blown apart. And when my world was blown apart, just like, you know, let me tell you why I had to go into intensive care Psalm 91, because, and that's the second book, Georgia Justice. I was going through a spiritual battle with God telling me in his word, in Psalms, everything was going to be okay. He could take the crooked way and make it straight. He could take the devices of the wicked and he could make them to non-effect. Put not your trust in man, for I am your defense. Hey, Psalm 91, Jackie, I'm going to put angels in charge of you. You ain't got to be afraid of those arrows coming at you by day across that conference room table from those attorneys. You know, Jackie, you don't have to be afraid of the nightmares, the terror coming at you by night. Why? Last verse, when he is in trouble, I will deliver him because he has known my name. These things I was just searching out now in my life for the very first time. And what I was finding is God was keeping me alive while that physical body, it was dying again. How was it dying? I couldn't live in my prayer closet. I had to come out sometime. And when I had to go into those meetings from attorneys, they would come across that table. I mean, here's what they would say. You need to wake up, Jackie. It's not a matter of whether or not he's going to prison here. It's a matter of how long he's going for. So, you know, I go back into my prayer closet, and it was a spiritual battle going on with God telling me everything's going to be okay, and Satan saying, no, it's not. And God saying, oh, yes, it is. And Satan saying, no, it's not. And that was just constantly going on, Larry.
Well, in your story, and you've been telling, you know, I saw where you've made several interviews, and I'm sure then people are reading your book and you're talking to folks. Are folks saying to you, you know, Jackie, you're describing my life. That's exactly where I was. I don't know that I have ever really been tested in my faith. And is your story resonating with them in that way?
Oh, my goodness. The people, let me tell you something. There are three kinds of people in this world. There are people who have been through a tragedy. They've already been through there. There's also people that's in one right now. They're here. They're with me. I'm still living in 2008. They're here. And then there are people who don't have a clue what tragedy is. And those people, they need to just raise their hands and thank God today, because you know what? They could have one coming tomorrow in their life. So, you know, everybody falls into one of those categories. People who've already been there relate to me real well, because the majority of people I've spoken to, God has had to bring them through it, just like he had to bring me through it. The ones God didn't bring through it, I don't know that they made it, because I haven't heard from them, Larry. You know, I don't know if they made it or not. The ones I hear from are the ones who made it only by the grace of God. And I can tell you that was the only way that I made it. And the good news here is for the people who haven't been through tragedy yet, hang on to every word I'm telling you, because if you come up on one tomorrow, may this message resonate back into your heart, and you will know where to go for comfort and help, and the one who can do supernatural acts and deliver you.
Believe it or not, Jackie, we are wrapping up the first half of the program. I guarantee you 14 minutes always goes by quickly. Before we take the break, let's remind folks, number one, the story that you're telling right now has been turned into a movie. It's called A Cry for Justice. You can see the trailer at acryforjusticethemovie.com. And hopefully, you're working on the arrangements now. It'll be in a theater near you. So write that down to follow it. And then you're the author of two books that you tell the story, one called George Justice and the other called The Bridge, that you talk about, where you talk about Psalm 91. Well, we're going to be back with Jackie Carpenter in just a minute. We got to take a little break. And we come back, first of all, I want to talk about your son, because, you know, God was working in his life too. So I'd like to start right there. And then let's talk a little bit about the trial and how God delivered during the course of the trial. It's a great story. You stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Bill, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great music you grew up with on Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, Saturday evenings at 11 on Christian Talk 92.9.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
I kept on trying, learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
We did it, so can you.
For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching in great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host. If you stuck with us through the break, glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Jackie Carpenter, author of the book The Bridge, and also a book called Georgia Justice. And Jackie is telling the story of the midnight call that she got that her son had been arrested. He will be charged with felony murder, manslaughter, possession of a firearm, and the lawyers are telling her it's not a matter of whether he goes to jail or not. It's a matter of how long. And that's where we're going to pick up the story with our guest today is Jackie Carpenter. Jackie, let's pick it up, okay? Your son, Jason, you tell the story in the book that you're telling your story, but Jason also has a story. Tell us a little bit about your son. How is this affecting him?
Well, in December 2007, 6 months prior to this tragedy, Jason had been called into the ministry. And he, too, he was helping. My oldest son, Jim, is my pastor. He's been pastoring 10 years. And Jason had also come along beside Jim and was part-time pastoring. But he was also still running that construction company where everything happened there. Today, you know, let me tell you this, Larry. Jason's faith never wavered. Never. Jason had just done, resonated to the fact that, you know, God, if prison is the place that you're trying to get me to share the gospel, I'm ready. Whatever your will is for my life, I'm ready. Jason was married. He had a six-year-old little son. And let me tell you, while Jason was in cell block A for 9 days, 24 hours a day fighting for his life, he did lead three inmates in cell block A to the Lord. During the 9 days, that's when Satan himself opened cell block A and threw my son out because he'd done witness to the inmates, and they were starting a prayer meeting in cell block A. Jason's faith never wavered. He's pastoring today. He's pastoring a church full-time. He's still, this is 5 years later, and he's still part-time into that construction company, and I just hope and pray one day that God will make a way that he can make it for his family full-time in ministry and let that construction site go.
Well, let's talk just briefly about that. I mean, because the thing we haven't talked about is what brought this up. And let me just bring our audience up to speed. Jason was a contractor. He's a house builder. He's had copper stolen out of his houses night after night. He can't get any help from law enforcement. And then one day a deputy gives him some really bad advice to go out and kind of watch the house himself at night, take a weapon with him, and even instructs him on how to make a citizen's arrest. And then what happened the night Jason actually did that?
You know what? It sounded like it was foolproof. I mean, nothing could go wrong with it. Jason had been robbed 17 times of copper in his under-construction homes, and every hit, they were only getting $50 for the copper, but the damage they were leaving behind was $6,000. We were on desperate times here. 17 robberies at $6,000 a hit, and, you know, with no relief, doing everything right, filing all the right insurance claims, all the right police reports. But on June 27th of 08, that's the day everything changed. A deputy did meet Jason, and they went over many things, but his bottom line to Jason was this: Jason, unless you catch them yourself, they're not going to get caught. That's the only way you catch copper thieves. So here's what I suggest you do. It was a well-laid-out plan. Jason, you showed him the woods to get in. You get right over there in those woods. You watch this next house with exposed copper because it was a subdivision of eight houses. They'd already been hit three times in 1 week. And he was going to watch this next house with exposed copper only three nights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Monday, he already had full-time security guard lined up. The deputy knew Jason was going to watch it three nights. He was going to have patrolmen in the area. And if Jason's call happened to go through to 911, he was being robbed, he was going to have backup there in 5 minutes to take over and arrest the copper thieves. It sounded like it was an impossible thing to go wrong. Who would have ever thought, number one, they'd come back four times in 1 week? I would have been there. Who would have ever thought the deputy was never going to alert a law enforcement? My son was in those woods. After he left that afternoon, he never mentioned it. There was no backup. There was none. So, you know, when the van drives up at 2 o'clock midnight, sitting there, and the alleged copper thieves are back, and he makes the phone call to 911, and there's no backup, I mean, everything starts going wrong. There were three in that van. And you know what? It is unbelievable. I mean, you literally have got to read the books and see the full account of what happened, because it is absolutely unbelievable. And what made it so bad is after a man was shot, after a man died, the same deputy that laid out this plan for my son turned and went to the judge and said he never said any of it. He never told my son to do any of this. So my son was now being also, because he went on television telling all the news media about this. I'm telling you, everything that could go wrong went wrong. We had no hope. We had none.
Well, you know, I'm an attorney. I didn't tell you that. And one of the hardest things I ever have to do is to tell a client, you know, that these are the odds and this is what you're really looking at. And I can feel for those lawyers when they say it's maybe 3 years or 30 years. You don't like it, but your son decided to take the trial and let the jury to decide, even knowing that a judge had basically said, if they find you guilty on anything, I'm going to give you the max. So tell us what happened.
He didn't want the case in his courtroom. Yeah. I mean, everything was against us.
So tell us what happened. Tell us what happened in the trial.
Jason did it right, Larry. He did it right.
Yeah.
He prayed. Him and his wife went to the altar at church, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they did not get up from that altar until God gave them both peace. And then they looked at each other, and they said, trial. So they knew then God wanted them to go forth with the trial, in which they did.
And what happened in that trial?
Well, the last word to me on Saturday before we go to court on Monday is, Jason, you tell your mama when she comes to court on Monday morning to leave that Bible of hers at home. You know, that was the only thing keeping us all alive anyway, was the Word of God. It was the only, you remember, I'm living in it. And I went into my prayer closet, and I said, God, what am I supposed to do here? He said, well, you've been telling everybody, Jackie, you're going to get a miracle through Psalm 91. Do you believe that? I said, yes, I believe that. He said, well, do you want me to show up and just deliver Jason of three charges? You want me to show up, Jackie, about 60%? I said, no. He said, no. He said, you want me to show up, deliver Jason of five charges with 100%. I said, that's exactly right. He said, then you better show up with 100%. So I went right on through the metal detectors. I took my Bible. It was the only thing that sustained me through 4.5 days of a hard trial. It was the only thing. And not only that, I was tearing scriptures out of my Bible, putting them into file folders, sending them down to that front table to Jason just to keep him alive. If I had not taken, listen, you're an attorney.
And I'm listening.
The reason behind all that was, if there's one juror and they see your Bible, they see your mama's Bible back there, and they are a non-believer, their opinion alone can send you to prison for 30 years. So that's man's reasoning. But at some point, I had to decide, Larry, am I going with man's wisdom or am I going with God's word? Now, man's wisdom had already said to us, outside of a miracle, we have no hope. But yet then they're telling me to leave our hope at home. So, I mean, none of it made sense. So I just went on what I knew. And what I knew was what God was telling me. And I knew God was keeping me alive. And I knew God would deliver my son. And if he didn't, he would be with him in prison. All I knew was I couldn't let God stay by the wayside. I couldn't do that. And I took him. I took him.
Well,
and he didn't let us down. He didn't let us down. On Thursday afternoon, April the 16th, 2009, 3:40 p.m., third floor courtroom, God opened them big old double doors in that courtroom, and he walked right down that aisle as my son had stood up for the verdict, and I was hyperventilating, and he delivered my son. A not guilty verdict came back on all five charges. So God did his part.
Well, let's talk now about it. And you sort of let the cat out of the bag. You know how the movie's going to end now when it comes, but that's okay. But let's go back.
Yeah.
In the first half of the program, you talked about people and the people that you minister to, and that you want the point of all of this to be that there is hope.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about
this
that.
This movie is not about Copperfield. It's not about Jason. It's not about a murder trial. It's certainly not about me. The whole movie is about God and what he can do in your life. And, you know, I'm not a writer. if you gave me a creative, you want me to write you this creative story and you gave me a topic, I couldn't do it to save my life. I'm not a writer. God started dictating, and I started typing. He put the books out there. Then he led a producer to produce them. I'm telling you, God, when my son was on that witness stand fighting for his life, God already saw two books and a movie down the road. He's so far ahead of us, you know. That's what the movie's about. It's a message of hope. No matter how bad your situation is, it doesn't get so bad that God can't straighten it out, because he can do supernatural acts and man can't.
And part of your story is, and we talked about this in the first half, is that you were not exactly in line for sainthood as a believer, were you? You were just sort of coasting along in your spiritual life, never having been tested, never having particularly had to trust the Word of God or trust God for anything beyond your salvation. So God put you into a test immediately. And gave you circumstances which everybody's telling you are hopeless. And you're finding hope. And you grew into that, didn't you? You grew. I mean, you struggled over it. In fact, there's one part of your book.
It was spiritual warfare.
Where God said to you.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. When that word came to me from the attorneys on Saturday, leave your Bible at home, Satan was trying to shut me down right then. I fully believe Satan already saw the trial. Satan already saw the outcome. And if he could convince me to leave God at home, he would have shut me down, and I don't think God would have showed up.
Well, you did mention in your book, and I had it highlighted, and I wanted to mention it because you said at one point you were in conversation with God, and you more or less kind of said, you know, why is this whole thing so hard? And God said, well, you're the one that's making it hard.
Absolutely. Is that not funny? Think about that. One night I walked outside of my house. This is right in the midst of torment. And I walked outside my house, and I just started praying and crying and worrying. And God said, Jack, you look up. And I looked up. And he said, what do you see? And I saw stars. I saw the moon. I saw the heavens. He said, Jackie, I made all this in 6 days. He said, on the seventh, I was caught up, so arrested. But yet you think that this thing with Jason is so twisted that I can't straighten it out. Jackie, you insult me. You insult me. And I had to fall back on my face before God and do nothing for the next 30 minutes but apologize to him for insulting his intelligence.
Jackie, thank you. We've reached the end of the program. The time flies. Let's go back over the details. The book is called The Bridge, and the second book is called Georgia Justice. You can buy those wherever books are sold. The movie's called A Cry for Justice. And that hopefully will be coming out soon. And you can see the trailer at acryforjusticethemovie.com. But we hope that you're hearing this, and if you're facing a crisis, if you've come through one, or if you're in the day before and you don't know what's coming, go back to Jackie's story. When you get a chance, it's on the archive. And remember, in the darkest of times, there is hope. And you don't have to be a spiritual giant when the mess comes, because there's a big God that brings the mess, and you're really trusting him anyway. Jackie Carpenter, thank you for being on Peace Talk, because this is the place where you find hope, you get help, and you can discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.